Live from the old Austin Opry House in Austin, Texas, it's the After Reality TV Podcast.
This is the final rose, final rose tonight.
But first.
When people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
The job is spoken.
Killed it. Good job.
Welcome to the After Reality TV Podcast. I'm Spencer Kitley.
And I'm Daniel Oler.
Today we embark on year two of the podcast after celebrating our one-year anniversary last week. We're excited to discuss the first real episode of the Bachelorette season, some interesting new developments, and a great challenge on the Challenge Free Agents. Also, we bring you a random review of the new Fox show, I Want to Marry Harry. And Dano, it was another solid week in reality TV, but before we get started, where can everyone find us online?
You can hit us with Twitter, at AfterRealityPod, or like our Facebook page, After Reality TV Podcast.
So Dan, what's the good word?
Nothing. I think we're getting into, we're getting into new reality shows, testing some things out.
It's kind of the testing season.
Testing season, yeah. Stuff that, you know, it's not going to be around that long, but, you know, maybe it's good for like one season or a couple episodes. Getting some bump in our downloads. Thanks to all the people out there who are
shout out to all the good listeners.
News. Yes.
And give us your feedback, whether it's on social media or leave us your feedback on iTunes. Give us a rating. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you'd like to hear. If you have a show that you're watching that we're not watching, we'd love to hear about it. Switching the order up a little today. I'm going to bat lead off with The Bachelorette.
All right. The first two-hour episode.
Next week, 4 hours of The Bachelorette. We'll be bringing you a special Wednesday edition of the podcast next week. All Bachelorette next week. Yeah. So we'll be getting into that. Dan's excited, and then Dan's off to the exotic Northeast. Is there a family event, or is it just vacation?
We're dealing with a graduation.
Ooh, a graduation.
So, a couple graduations. So
all right.
Should be a good time.
Cue up the music. So, The Bachelorette. Eric, rest in peace to you. He gets the first one-on-one date of the season. I like this guy. I like Eric. Unfortunately, we all know the end game here. But it's a beach date. They're building sandcastles. And perhaps the corniest line so far of the season, maybe of many seasons, Eric claims, after they built some sandcastles, that they've already spent, already built their first home together.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, I've heard better sand lines before that I won't get into. But what are you going to say?
Better sand lines, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
This is a microcosm of the whole season, of at least this week's episode, of the guys just don't have a lot to say and a lot to talk about and a lot to get across. I'm seeing not a lot of personality coming across.
Nor is Andy very dynamic.
She's not a good interviewer. She's not a good, yeah, it's not someone like, I can't see anyone having like an hour or like an all-night conversation with her.
Unless they're talking about like the Georgia State Penal Code or
maybe
something.
And from what I can probably guess, I bet she doesn't know that well too either.
You think she's a very good attorney?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know, but I can imagine her coworkers watching this at home, like during the first episode, and her being, they're like, "Oh, give me a break," you know, where they're showing the scenes of her arresting drug dealers and whatnot.
Oh, she's from the School of Hard Knocks, Dan.
Yeah, so. I don't know, but I would venture to say she's probably not highly regarded. I mean, her boss let her leave for 3 months.
Yeah. Twice.
Twice, yeah.
And actually, I don't think she ever went back to work in between, because that was like the holidays. And so she's probably been on leave for 7 months now.
Yeah, probably. And boss is like, whatever.
I think someone else has claimed her office by now.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I don't think the conversations have been very lackluster, to say at least. I mean, especially when you're meeting a new person, like, there's tons of stuff you can talk about, right? Because you don't know anything about anybody. So you figure you just
ask questions.
Exactly.
Share experiences. And sure, I mean, Eric's got lots of experiences, and you're on a helicopter ride with him. You're going to Big Bear, go snowboarding.
And all Andy has to say is like, what? What?
soon as they turn around and this guy's doing jumps, I immediately know. I see the hair flopping in the wind. I'm like, hey, it's Louis Vito. I like the action sports. Got X Games coming up next weekend right here in Austin. One of the reasons we're having an early podcast next week. Andy describing this date. Well, actually, let's backtrack. How miserable of a date is this if you are Eric and you're, I'm sure, a really good snowboarder because he seems to be that kind of guy that's, like, good at all the, like, random things. Mm-hmm. I would be like, I'm at Big Bear, no one else is on the mountain, and I'm stuck hand-holding.
Yeah, well,
maybe that makes me a jerk, but...
Yeah, it probably does make you a jerk. But well, I think it's a good sign.
So that makes two of us.
I think it's good for him to kind of teach her. Like, girls love that when the guys kind of take a lead. Like, it wouldn't be, I mean, and take a lead and teach her. And so,
A teaching moment.
Like, oh, this is how you do it. And then he'd probably show off, like, even some simple moves she'd probably be really impressed with. So, I don't understand. Yeah, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be awesome. I mean, for this opportunity of dating, I'm sure he would probably, we don't know either if he probably took a couple minutes to shred it down the mountain, you know, when the...
He's like,
you know,
watch this.
Yeah, so, I mean, we only got to saw probably, what we saw, like 10 minutes of probably their 2-hour, yeah, you know, excursion.
So Andy starts describing this date. She throws around the word epic like it's nothing. Like, I try to reserve epic for, like, something that's legendary.
So, here's a funny moment, and this is a side note. So, Louis C.K. has a comedy bit where he's like, we overuse big words like that, like words to describe grandiose experiences. So, she uses epic to describe Eric snowboarding. That means if she saw Jesus Christ come down the stairs, she couldn't use the word epic anymore because epic is snowboarding.
Louis C.K., he talked about this in the GQ article last month, right?
Was it? Yeah.
He's like, wow, that's amazing. It's like you start dumbing down these terms,
yeah,
that you're
exactly
using to grant acclaim to something.
So this is another thing I've noticed, like, with Andy. And I don't want to spend 10 minutes bagging on Andy.
Not that we haven't already.
But maybe it's her just getting used to experience. But she seems to hitch a ride on like 4 or 5 words, and then she just keeps repeating those same 4 or 5 words throughout.
What?
Her. What? Y'all? Epic? Like, she just...
I called it last week that the Connie Britton y'all drinking game is definitely in vogue for this season.
Yeah, she kept saying, what? She seems to say the same language over,
yeah,
and over again.
So she tells Eric, yeah, I've never been snowboarding, but I've been skiing. I can ski well, I just can't stop. Eric kindly points out that it might be important to be able to stop. Was that foreshadowing? To him, I don't know. And even further foreshadowing, he starts telling about this near-death experience he had in Syria. Andy seems really into Eric.
That's how he lives his life.
He gets the rose on
quarter
the date.
Quarter mile after dying.
Dominic Toretto.
What can I say?
I watched some Fast and the Furious last weekend on TV. Group date. Brian, Markel, Bradley, Craig, Brett, Patrick, Cody, Carl, Tassos, Marcus, Nick S., and Dylan. And it's the Magic Mike date. Little do they know, but Cody shows up to the date wearing, like, cut-off sweatpants and a tank top and, like, wrestling shoes. Is that proper attire for going on a date?
Well,
maybe shirts don't fit his arms.
Well, then we was it the date the? Yeah, I don't know. Is it because remember then Chris later on the date he went showed up at the horse track and he was.
I think they must have told him just wear whatever you want because they knew he was going to get outfitted.
Yeah, again the irony of, you know, the men having to get naked this at the same time last year. Andy
was the one
out.
Freaked out.
Yeah.
But she did do it. Do it
eventually
with Lucy.
It was a huge storyline of her, like, I'm an attorney, I'm a big, you know.
She wouldn't even wear a two-piece last season.
So
now she's whoever, someone's doing her styling this season that's way off of wearing a two piece.
Another reason why she might not be an attorney anymore. Like, you know, maybe if you don't have to represent.
She was wearing some.
The girls were out to play this
revealing attire several times this episode.
And I know she said during the date, like, I know, last season I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to make you guys do it anyways. Basically what she said.
Yeah. But ABC's making us do this.
Exactly.
They're magic miking it. Dan, we have to talk about this. You saw Magic Mike, right?
I did see Magic Mike. Good movie. I liked it.
Let's talk about this guy who's like the McConaughey character on this show at the strip club, in his black leather jacket with no shirt underneath, who Andy introduces as my friend. Andy, who's buying that you're friends with this guy, the Lothario, that's the head honcho at this strip club, Mail Review, whatever the place is.
What'd you want her to say? Like, hey, this is some
this
weird
is,
guy.
This is the man in charge.
The man in charge.
Say this is extra large.
Yes.
Kelly and Charlene from last season, Juan Pablo season, they show up to help judge the guys. I'm quite disappointed when Kelly shows up and doesn't have her dog.
I was surprised that Charlene wouldn't show up, really. Like,
I think Charlene was having, we've talked about this before, has been having trouble booking gigs on the opera circuit.
No, I was surprised. I thought she would distance herself from
this. I think she shamed her name in the opera circles. Maybe her and Bradley can go out on an opera tour together.
Do you think anyone in the opera circles knows that she was on The Bachelor?
Oh, I'm sure that, I think older people like the opera.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of older people like The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Okay.
So there may be some crossover there.
Maybe.
So it's firemen dancing up on stage. And how about Dylan coming over and doing the butt on Chris Harrison and gets a smack? Chris Harrison gives him a smack on the rear end.
He's a single man. He can do whatever he wants.
I'm thinking Chris Harrison wasn't impressed. Just thinking.
He's Hollywood.
He's Hollywood. Anything goes in Hollywood.
Anything goes in Hollywood.
And then in this whole thing's kind of awkward. Marcus, I think, kind of earned some points. He's the maverick Top Gun solo performance character, which that's going to be hard to go out and just do that by yourself in front of, like, these people.
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to do it.
I mean, the whole thing would be difficult, but doing it by yourself?
Yeah, doing it by you couldn't really hide.
Oh my, there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, and what's Nick? Nick S., the golfer? May have taken things a little too far coming out in a thong. Maybe. Hey,
you know,
but I guess that option was there.
Swing for defenses, you know what I mean? I think his days were numbered anyway, so.
Yeah, so at the nighttime portion of the date, we've said this on episode one, she seems to have great chemistry again with Josh M. He's convincing her that she shouldn't look at him as an athlete, that's not really who he is, because I guess he's trying to... I took that as distancing himself from Juan Pablo, the athlete.
That's true. I could see that.
And she seems to buy in. Meanwhile, Craig, who I had already dubbed one of the douchiest guys on the show to begin with, proved it. He's hammered on this date.
I feel bad for him because I agree with him that the fact that he just spent his afternoon walking around naked on national TV.
He was drowning his sorrows.
You know, just probably a way for him to kind of like relax and, you know, move on. Like, I get where he was coming from. I probably, you know, and you know what happens when you're drinking, like the slippage from 4 to 5, then 5 to 6, it happens pretty quickly.
He must have been drinking something pretty hard.
And when you're with a bunch of guys that you're hanging out with, like, you think that they're all on the same page as you, and apparently they weren't.
Nowhere close to his
page. How fun would it have been if all the guys got drunk?
Pretty awesome.
That would probably be...
That might get a four-letter epic.
That would be if just all the guys were, like, blitzed by the time Andy came in.
That'd be all time.
That'd be the great.
He's stumbling around the house, which is... actually pretty good TV. Like, where's Andy? I need to talk to Andy.
Hey, we didn't see him crying in a bathroom, though.
No. In a public stall. Yeah, yeah. And we didn't see Renee crawling underneath the door.
That's how you're supposed to get drunk, with a little respect.
Yeah, so then Craig and Golf Nick, they end up in the pool. Golf Nick's a little... He's prepared for this. He has his board shorts on. Craig, fully clothed, may have taken his shoes off.
Good for him. Hope he took his cell phone out. Probably didn't have it on, but...
Well, I don't think they're allowed to have those.
Either, yes.
He's been removed from the house by the producers because he's, like, ruining this... He's ruining TV right now.
I don't think he was ruining TV. It would have been fun to keep him around and, like, see him, like, talk to Andy and maybe try to put a move on her.
Yeah, but if he hadn't been removed, we might not have gotten to see Bradley sing opera to Andy on the group date.
I would have. I've been okay with that.
Yeah.
I'd rather see drunk Craig than opera
Bradley.
I don't
think you were sensing my sarcasm, Dan.
Okay. I didn't.
Marcus, a.k.a. Top Gun, he gets the group date rose. And
well deserved.
And Chris, back at the house, he gets the second one-on-one date. What do you think about Chris, Dan?
Surface-wise. I think surface-wise. I mean, there's nothing... if we come across a date, it seems like he didn't have a lot to say. He seems pretty nervous on the show, but he seems just like an average guy. I have nothing wrong with that. I mean, he seemed like fine.
Yeah, so they go to...
I didn't like his... he's not very good conversation. Like, him and Andy having a conversation was like nails across a chalkboard.
Yeah, so they go to the horse races at Santa Anita. And...
Do you think they bet their money, or did ABC give them like a wad to deal with?
Maybe ABC gives them a little... per diem.
Yes.
Little slush fun. They're dressed to the nines. Nobody in this entire place is dressed up other than the other couple that's sitting in the suite with them. This older couple. So...
What a coincidence.
Old couple in the suite, Dan. A setup? Or just happenstance?
I believe it was a setup.
Probably... set up to the degree of they went out and scouted the place out before and like, hey, would you like to come sit up here? We would like to have this conversation and you talk, say some sweet things about love and
what were
how
the odds that you're
going to
find a couple that's old and been married for?
So you think they were recruited?
I think there might have been.
Maybe they'd gone to the race another day and these people were there and they asked them to come back.
So they did some scouting.
Yeah, scouting. Well, I'm sure they had to have gone out to Santa Anita at least a few times on a race day just for logistics, right?
Is it more staged than, was it desert season where they were on the Jersey Shore and they happened to
the
come old,
the couple that they
the
gave
dinner?
Their date to?
Yeah, they gave their date.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
Which one was more?
That was with James.
That was with James,
ended up being the looking for hot, tall, beautiful, wealthy women.
Speaking of which, we did get a right reasons drop. This episode.
Oh, I totally missed it.
Someone, I think Andy's like, you have to be here for the right reasons or something like that.
Right reasons.
There was a right reasons.
Right job. Reasons.
So.
We need to bring that song back.
All we need is the it's getting real drop.
We need some outro music. Maybe we'll go with the right reasons. Serious conversations about things with Chris. Turns out he's once engaged. Just ended up not feeling it.
Hey, that's the way it works. Like, hey, it's a good thing they didn't get married and get divorced, but...
Yeah. So he ends up getting the rose. And after the rose, Dan, we have our first private concert of the year.
I didn't know who this guy was.
By This Wild Ride.
Do you know that?
Never heard of him. I'd say 85% of the time, I've never heard of the person performing.
Yeah, very rarely have I heard.
I think we had one last season, and then maybe Darius Rucker, was he last season also?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
How
awkward is it for the guy to be playing, like...
Awkward, then, like, it's like sound check.
And then there's, like, two people dancing on a platform in front of you. Like, can you really get your best performance out of that?
So let's do a little...
How many songs do you think they play?
Pick and... Three. Let's do a little pick and choose here. More awkward for the band playing to two people, or... More awkward for the two people when they've recruited an audience to stand there and watch them dance.
Band. Because I think the other two people are there, you know, they're on a TV show. The band, it's just...
I think it's pretty equal. I think that's equally awkward. The band is maybe in their younger years played to sparse crowds.
Yeah, but you know, to a couple having this romantic date, and then like 50 producer, you know, like maybe a crew of 10 to 15 yeah. around them.
I saw a country music singer, and back in the early 2000s, who's gone on to be fairly big. And there was 8 of us there to watch him play. We hung out afterwards. Good times.
Good times.
Cocktails and Roses. Oh, wait. Chris got the first kiss of the season. Left that part out.
Good for him.
So put him on the kiss leaderboard for the time being. Cocktails and Roses. And there's a lot of uncertainty in this house. Nick V. He does something that is kind of outside the norm, something we haven't really seen before. I thought it was a really nice move on his part. He along with Brett and Andrew, didn't have dates this week. Which typically, if it's week 2 and you're not getting a date, that means you're in a good spot for the most part, I would think. Because I don't think she's going to send you home and not take you on a date. But anyhow, Nick V, he brings her a date card. Sets up one-on-one cocktails, or one-on-one outside of the Cocktails and Roses. And they seem to have pretty good chemistry. He got the first impression rose last week. They have this nice time this week. Markel, Dan, did you see what Markel was wearing at Cocktails and Roses?
I didn't. I don't remember it now.
Like, a plaid, brightly colored printed tie, a like crazy other colored shirt, socks that were completely different, other color. Like, none of the things went well together. It was a lot of patterns and a lot of colors. After like looking so sharp on the first episode,
maybe he used all his A material already.
I don't know. Like Markel, but that was a little out there. Josh M, Aaron Murray's big brother. Despite saying "like" repetitively, which I think I counted 11 times in about a minute and a half span, he gets to make out with Andy during his one-on-one time. This early in this show, making out one-on-one time at the Cocktails and Roses—that's big.
She's not hiding the fact that she likes that Josh is a. Probably, no. He might be the leader.
I mean, it's one thing to, like, go off on the side on your group date mm-hmm. early in the season, but, like, this is... I mean, I listened to another podcast the other day, and they're like, why are we even watching this show? Josh M's going to win the thing.
I think we all kind of felt that going in.
I mean, you were not... I mean, it was a matter of who got to pick first in our Fantasy Four Reality draft, because we both wanted the guy. Craig... makes his triumphant return at the rose ceremony at the cocktail party.
Yeah, I like it. This guy goes down swinging.
Then he tries to sing a song to apologize, and he's awkward like Casey Call was on Allie's season. Garden Protect Your Heart and singing songs where Allie would sit there and try not to laugh in his face.
I think it was a little bit better than that.
I hate this guy. I would not like this guy in real... He's the person that, like, is around, and I'm just like, why won't this guy go away in real life? That's who Craig is in my world.
I don't feel that bad about him. I don't think he's that bad.
I think he's the guy I would kick in the nuts and tell him to get out of here. He's not welcome in the studio, let's say that. Bron?
He could be my guest, then.
Yeah, well, he's still not welcome. Ron gets the first rose. So, week one, we saw JJ get the first rose. Ron gets the first rose this week. JJ also got the third rose this week, so JJ might not be in too bad of a spot.
But we all assume that she's just playing games until... Like, she can't get Josh M the first rose every time.
Yeah, he got his about halfway through... Both weeks. Which some of the Bachelors in the past have been very, like, obvious with. These two or three people are getting it first every time.
Yeah. Juan Pablo did that. Yeah, he did that.
I mean, we never talked about this. On night one at the Bachelor House, Bachelorette House, there's 25 people there. and you have to call out 19 names, do you have a good sense of, like, who is who at that point?
I wouldn't. I can barely.
I'd be like, wait, can I get a radio TV roster sheet where I have, like, names so I don't call the wrong person? Right. I mean, we saw Jesse Palmer back in the day out the wrong person and then be like, oh, wait, Chris, I called out the wrong person. Can I get another rose?
And we also know that, I think, there's also, like, a crowd at the Bachelor House the first night, right? I've heard press reports of, like, they allow the press to come and watch the first, that hey, first night.
Grantland gets to go.
Yeah, so we've heard where there's multiple people there, so it must be a cluster.
Maybe they have a monitor somewhere in the room where they can...
We also don't know how many times she might do it. She's like, Craig, I mean, Dave. So
you over there with the yellow tie on. So, Eric Marcus and Chris already had a rose. Craig the drunk, Carl the tattooed fireman, and golfer Nick are the three cast-offs. They are going home. Fantastic exit, though, by golfer Nick. He brought his robot attire from the Magic Mike.
You think he brought it? You think he carried it around?
Okay, well... Best exit in a long while. I remember the season when the guy with the wore the mask because he wanted.
Oh yeah.
I think his name was Jeff. He wanted the.
Was it for Emily?
I think it was Emily's season. Wanted Emily to get to know him and not what he looked like. But then they kept bringing him back in the credits every week. Bring back the robot every week.
Maybe.
Have the robot show up like Zingbot on Big Brother. Zingbot.
Zingbot.
So, next week, two episodes, as we said before, and apparently somebody has a girlfriend back home.
They're always usually one. I mean, most of them probably have girlfriends back home.
From the preview, I watched it a couple times. It looked like maybe JJ.
Maybe. I don't...
The pantsapreneur. I still wait on him to bring out some fancy pants.
Well, again, that would make sense because if he's trying to promote his pants, like.
But we haven't even gotten. Maybe they edited it out.
Maybe they edited it out because
they're like, "Oh, he was only here to promote blah 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 pants company."
He wasn't here for the right reasons.
Not the right reasons. He needs to get on the rap song. So, anything else on The Bachelor before we move on to the challenge?
No, I'm just psyching myself up for 4 hours next week.
Oh, get psyched, Dan. Get it going. Challenge free agents. Beginning of the episode. A funeral for Tamara.
This is what happens when you don't have any TV.
A funeral
or smartphones
for Devin's water wig. Naturally, Bananas is officiating. Dressed as a banana.
Again.
What is this?
When you don't have TV.
Why is this on TV?
When you don't have internet, this is what they do. You have to make up.
Everybody seemed in on it.
You have to make up your own. What are you not going to do? You just like everyone's doing it, and you're going to just sit on the couch and.
But like, no, I'm good.
Doing, yeah, like well,
it's something to do. I guess
it's something to do.
I wonder if they have like free time hours and like lockdown hours. Like, can I go to the beach for a couple hours during non-shooting time?
I don't know about that, but I guarantee you, there's. I mean, but at the same time, if you're there for weeks, like, sitting on the beach for how long? Again, it's not like they're, like, giving you food or booze. You know, you just go.
Yeah, I mean, but, hey, you can, like, escape a
little bit. Yeah, there might be, yeah. So, but when you have no TV.
I'm just going to put them in a house on the beach where there's waves, and then you guys can go out and surf or whatever, or at least have some
activity. That would take away from filming opportunity.
Give them GoPros.
But you don't want to watch people surf for.
Two minutes?
Yeah. I don't think... it's the same as just watching someone watch TV.
Maybe they can get in a fight with the locals. Maybe there's some extreme localism out in the water.
No, I guarantee the hooey. Yeah, they would not let that happen.
No?
They're not going to let them interact with the locals.
Maybe that'd be a nice element. Maybe it's intermingling with the locals. And speaking of intermingling with the locals, we'll on to the club. I brought this up on Twitter last night. I brought it up to you before the show today. I'm all but certain, because I rewound the DVR 3 times and paused it and slow-moed it, that Kara and Johnny Bananas were feeding each other shots at the bar. Kara and Johnny Bananas hate each other.
Maybe it's all
supposedly,
yeah.
I'm wanting to get some kind of response. Maybe Johnny Banoblehead, our mascot, can give us some insight. I really don't know. Nani and Kahuta are making out at the bar. But then back at the crib, Nani and Johnny are hanging out, and in a matter of moments, they're smashing on the daybed out on the balcony.
Good for them.
Smush. They need a smush room. Jersey Shore style. I'm going to blast ahead just a little bit to after the challenge. Nani is so upset and remorseful that she's what all she's done to Kahuta, but was really upfront with him the night after the club. He's like, oh, hey, what happened after I went to bed last night? She's like, oh, nothing, like everybody hooking up.
He's like, did you do something stupid?
And she's like,
Yep. I felt bad for Johnny.
You feel bad for Johnny R.
Yeah, Johnny R the whole time, because like she's crying basically after she has sex with him, you know, to Kahuta. I was like, hey, I mean, was it that bad where you're like, you don't like, you're crying basically.
We ought to go down the roster of guys from this season and how many of them Nani's hooked up with. Wait, let's do this real quick. Leroy, yes.
Yes.
Zach, no. Swift, I don't think so. Chet, no. Dustin, I think her and Dustin may have been a little friendly back in Las Vegas, but I don't think they hooked up.
I don't think they were friendly. I mean, friends.
Johnny Riley, not Bananas, not Preston, not Brandon.
Is that like three
not
people?
Frank. Isaac? She hooked up with Isaac, right? No, or was
no,
that Jasmine?
That's Jasmine.
Oh. I get these girls with somewhat morally casual attitudes confused a little bit. But anyhow, the beef I have with this whole thing, the reason I brought it all up, she apologizes to Kahuta. In a matter of a few hours, they've gone from being totally distant to being besties and all over each other again. Like, you had a nice theory on this being kind of like they're in a bubble.
Yes.
But Kahuta, what's wrong with you?
I think it's one of those things where, too, where it's not worth, like, probably in the grand scheme of things, it's just not worth having someone angry at you in this small lot, in this house. And so, especially when
she's not angry at him, he's angry at her.
I know, but just having the awkwardness and these people not getting along, like, you never know, like, what could happen. What if she voted to put him in, or what if, you know, she swayed some people, like, I think he's just realizing, you know, because once they leave the house, I'm sure they probably won't even talk to each other again.
Kahuta and Kellyanne lasted a long time after the house. Team challenge. Devin and Johnny R. are the captains. Johnny R. ends up drafting Kahuta to his team. This is just a few hours after the showdown on the veranda.
It's a power move by him. He's like, I don't care. I just had sex with your girl. It's like, what else do you want?
Yeah. So it's this kind of colored strap maze, which I was kind of having trouble picturing what they were supposed to do until they actually did it. Each person has two straps on either side of this apparatus and must remain suspended in the air for a minute. One team has the complete right idea. Let's figure it out, and then when it's go time, suspend yourself. Some of them got suspended early, but those that didn't have to, like, hold on. The other team, they managed to get two people suspended in the amount of time took the other team to win the thing.
Yeah, I think both had right ideas, but then at the end, like, only one of them worked. So, it's just one of those things, like, you can't plan it. Like, the funny thing was, like, before they had this big, long meetings where they're trying to plan what they were going to do, and by the time it started, that was all out the window, and they just started running around. So, I mean, again, this was...
And how did Devin's team win?
By hanging on the longest?
Oh, Dan, come on. CT.
Oh.
Crouching Buddha. Hidden Yoga.
I mean, all the members did really well, not just CT.
CT had the toughest task of anyone. I didn't think he was going to make it.
Man, well, he put himself in a bad position.
Anyway, he should have dug a big hole in the sand there before he started.
That could have been.
I'm surprised TJ wasn't right up in there
Yeah, watch. I'm sure. Well, that's the thing. TJ, you know, there's a producer probably close by.
A team of officials.
Yeah, a team of officials.
Crouching Buddha, Hidden Yoga. That one of my favorite lines for sure for this season so far. I'll put it up there with some of the best. Devin's team safe from the draw. Devin seems to be making a deal with Laurel to go to the final, which...
It sounds like Laurel doesn't want to make deals with anyone. She just really... Because it doesn't make sense to make deals with anyone. It seems like Laurel...
I felt like she did make a deal with her.
See, I didn't... I felt like she was like... I feel like Laurel is not going to... At the end, she's not going to make a deal with anyone. Like,
I think Laurel may have made a deal with her because Devin seems somewhat trustworthy out of most people. And Laurel really wants somebody she can trust.
Didn't Devin put Laurel into the...
No, Laurel drew the draw
card.
No,
but I'm saying last time Laurel went into the draw.
Has she been in once already?
Against Jazz. She,
Oh, Jazz yeah.
But she, I think...
I don't remember.
But Devin was the deciding vote. Because remember, Teresa convinced everyone to vote Laurel in. And...
Yeah, but I think Devin won some points back when she... flipped the script and told Laurel how it all went down.
Yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think Laurel's got... I think if you had to ask Laurel, I think she's going to say yes to people who want her... She wants to say yes to her, but she'll say no to some people, but she knows that this is an individual competition, and she's not really going to be on anyone's team.
And Devin, she's in the good graces of Johnny Bananas, too. So she might be in a good spot despite not being good at anything.
Yeah, but she's not bad. I mean, she's not horrible. I mean, she's getting better at these challenges. And she's not,
I'd take Anissa over Devin anytime.
Yeah, but she's not a bad person either. I think people like her. That's the thing.
Oh, she's likable, yeah.
Yeah, I think people like her, so that's part of it.
That cast, the Brooklyn cast, pretty likable group of people by most standards when you're comparing real worlders. That's Sarah, and that's Chet, JD, the dolphin trainer. A likable group of people. There's not, like, a... villain, I guess, out of that season. There was, was the Caitlin?
Was she the
post-op girl?
Yeah, I think people don't like. I think she comes across kind of weird sometimes.
Yeah, she was on that first season of Rivals with Sarah. What a terrible partner to get paired up with. Unanimous votes for Anissa and Preston to go into the draw.
I want them to have a tie sometime on this vote, on like when multiple people get the vote.
Yeah, or when there's two people, like we said, I want them to not agree. And we may be getting near that territory now. Because watching last night, there's not that many people left.
Now, well, I think the season's done by the end of June. So
we got a month.
We got a month left, yeah.
Preston says, after getting voted in, that he isn't the weakest link. If he's not, who is? Kohata?
Of the guys? No, I think Kohata's pretty... I mean, I think pound for pound, Kohata might be the strongest guy there.
So, I mean...
But he's also...
So, the guys remaining at that time were Kohata, Leroy,
I think
Zach, Johnny Bananas, and CT. Preston's not the weakest link out of that group?
Well, he could have proved he wasn't the weakest link by beating Kohata.
And Anissa's wanting to take... Laurel on in the final.
I like it. I mean, it's the same kind of like Jordan did last week, where,
which is crazy.
To be the best, you gotta beat the best.
I don't know why she wants any part of Laurel. Laurel is,
but
I,
she, maybe she figured, like, again, if this is individual winners, is it easier? I mean, do you have a greater chance of trying to take out Laurel now in this challenge, in this gauntlet, whatever? What are we calling this?
I'm calling it the draw, though the draw is the flip.
So the draw, or are you going to beat her in a 3-day hike up a mountain in Antarctica?
But why do it now?
Because maybe she... I mean, because you have to take the opportunity you have. I mean, you don't know if you're going to get her again into a... I think she understands she can't beat her in whatever this long distance.
But maybe somebody else can.
Who? But again, you have to be... I mean, she's taking it into her own hands. You can't rely on someone else to do it.
I don't know. Maybe the rope... What's the rope climbing thing? Where you climb the rope, get the puzzle pieces, put your puzzle together.
I can't remember.
That's this season, right?
I don't think so. I can't remember. I don't know. But I just don't think she...
There's the wall climb, There's the Oppenheimer, which is what we saw last night. There's the Tug of War.
Tug of War.
And the fourth one has something to do with the puzzle, doesn't it?
Maybe. But I think she felt this was her best opportunity to do it, so... And it's not like she picked Laurel, it's just... I mean, Laurel was in the draw, so... She didn't pick her, but yeah, she wanted to deal with it, so... What did you want her to say? Like, oh, I'm afraid of Laurel. Like, I mean, she's not going to say that either.
I would have said, I'd rather go against Teresa, is what I would have said.
She's got to beat... to win this, she has to beat her eventually.
Eventually. But maybe Laurel blows out her knee in the next challenge.
Okay, well... So like my dad said, you could wish in one hand and shit in the other and see which one gets filled faster.
At the elimination, TJ shouts out
Balls
Devin's...
Balls in, Wrecking Wall, Looper, and Oppenheimer.
Which one's Looper?
That was the one. Balls in is the one where it's like... Oklahoma.
Oh, okay, we left that one out.
Yeah. Looper... been done twice. Looper's
the Tug of War.
Yeah, Looper's Tug of War. Wrecking Ball, not fun. Yeah, so Ball's in.
So there's not one of those that suits a small person better.
Mm-mm.
Usually they have like some kind of difference. See, I got confused because I'm side-watching the first season of The Duel.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. There's no these are all physical challenges, right? There's not really a mental challenge
right.
in any of these.
So, at the elimination, TJ shouts out Devin's team for killing it. So, I guess everybody got killing it points on Fantasy 4 Reality. Kill cards go to Laurel and Kahuta. Laurel versus Anissa. Kahuta versus Preston. Preston puts up a fight in Oppenheimer. But Kahuta kills it. Wins 2-0.
Yeah.
Stays in the game. Preston, adios, senor. Laurel... beats Anissa 2-0.
Again, and she put up a good fight. Like,
yeah, but in a battle of foot speed, Anissa is not going to compete with Laurel.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this earlier. I just don't think people understand how to run into someone else in this Oppenheimer game. Like,
well, I mean,
they were like,
it's understandable these girls don't know how to run into someone.
Yeah,
it's not like they played football.
They were running like they're Rams, though, and like trying to hit people with their heads.
They're giving you shoulder pads for a reason.
You have like your arms... You're a full body to use.
Well, they're coming in arms first.
Sometimes.
Have you noticed that?
But yeah, but they were. It seems like they were using the arms with their arms against their chest and hitting people. It wasn't like they were like I would wrap up on someone, try to drag them down, hold on to them.
If you run into them, put a shoulder into them, and drive through them,
yes.
You're going to fall down on top of them,
exactly.
and you're going to be able to get up and run off.
Yeah, exactly. And the guys aren't doing it either. I mean,
I
feel like they're missing.
Maybe it's harder than we think to run in that narrow hallway in a round, circle.
I think, and you're surprised when
you see the person.
Yeah, I think they're coming around the corner, and you
can't see them until they're there.
Yeah, I think you can't see. That's what I think is happening. But I'm feeling like they're missing the point in this Oppenheimer game. And I think I think Anissa could have won last night if she had better technique.
And we're gonna see next week. We have the traditional downhill cross pass football run competition, whatever you call that thing. Yeah. And we'll see if somebody can get low there.
Yeah, those are weird too. I don't want to get too excited about next week because a lot of times when I do get excited, like they'll time it where everyone misses everyone and it's just kind of very rarely do you get hits. We only have 3 more episodes until the finale.
Reminds me of this event I went to once in Florida called Crash-O-Rama. It's a demolition derby, other things, but the track has an X through it as well, so creating a figure eight track. They race school buses on a figure eight track, Dan. Some buses start getting fairly far behind, and when that happens, they start crossing that X in the figure eight very near the same times. It's quite entertaining. Check it out on YouTube. Crash-O-Rama school bus races, if you're listening. Before we wrap up the challenge, let's take a look over at fantasy4reality.com. Our friends over there provide a great service. Dan's team subtitles maintains their lead. Actually, I don't guess
it's updated.
So he had a pretty good lead last week. I lost 2 people this week. I lost Anissa and Preston. So I am down to just... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. 2 girls, 3 guys. The guys are Johnny, and CT. So not looking real great there. We missed it under the Bachelorette, but those numbers are updated. I had another good week, and somehow I still have all 12 of my guys remaining. Dan does have 4 really good guys remaining, but has lost 8 so far. Brian, Chris, the front runner, Josh M., and maybe kind of close to the top of the leaderboard, Nick V right now. So good stuff going on there. Let's move ahead and let's talk random review, Dan.
Okay.
And I don't think we've ever done this before where we're both random reviewing the same show.
Yeah.
This is new
Lindsay.
Territory.
We kind of did with Lindsay.
Yeah, we kind of did with Lindsay. That's true. So I want to marry quotation marks Harry.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last week. It's kind of a theme based on old Fox reality shows where American women are shipped over to Great Britain.
Yeah, it follows 12 American women
as they try to get, as they're led to believe they're hooking up with Prince Harry.
But they're led to believe they're competing for Prince Harry.
But they're not told who he is.
In reality, he's a bachelor. His name's Matt Hicks, and he's a Prince Harry lookalike.
Yes.
So they had to do some very specific casting for the show. How much do you think this guy's getting paid to do the show?
Enough.
I mean, he's getting paid some. He's got all the leverage in the negotiations because not everybody looks somewhat like Prince Harry.
But I bet they had a group of Prince Harrys in there. Because I can't. Well, it's hard to believe that he was the best one either, too. Because I think the one, you know, if we want to jump to the conclusion here, the one thing I think the show is missing is a good Prince Harry. Like, this guy doesn't have much of a personality.
I don't think he has the opportunity to be really good because he's trying to be someone he's not.
But yeah, but is his job a Prince Harry impersonator? Okay, I don't know.
No.
Okay. That's the thing. Prince Harry is like just a normal guy. If everything I know about Prince Harry, trust me, I think I know
a lot. Trust me, you know a lot about the royals.
I think Mike is that he's like a normal guy. Like, he's a guy's guy. So, you know, this attitude that they're trying to treat him as like this royal snob, I don't think that's who Prince Harry is, really. Yeah.
Well, the contestants are not explicitly told that he is Prince Harry.
That's right.
They're merely led to believe
that he's something.
And make the inference on their own that this guy,
he has Secret Service,
who has close resemblance in the royal setting of this place called the Inglefield House.
Yeah, they're staying at a castle.
Lavish dates, servants, security. Was it scenes from the next, or was it this week? Where he got whisked away.
It happened this week.
By security first.
Yeah.
Something.
This week.
Which is good production.
Yeah.
They're making this seem a way it really isn't. And I think it's funny that they don't know his name.
Well, that's
They referred to him as Sir.
Yes. So, is that part of, like, you know, so they can't get in trouble for saying, oh, this is Prince Harry, when in fact he's never implied that he's Prince Harry?
So, I got this for you, Dan. Matt Hicks, this guy on the show, he works for an environmental consultancy firm. He had previously done some very, very small-scale impersonations of Prince Harry, but otherwise had no prior acting experience. His hair is naturally blonde. And he was given some brief training in princely activities. And we've seen him. It's got to be somewhat stressful. I mean, he said it last night. You have to. It's like, I need to remember what I learned in my etiquette classes. And these girls are looking at me. And then it turns out the girls are like, they're all trying to be prim and proper and act a certain way. When that doesn't necessarily mesh well with who they are. Hicks apparently also was taught quite a bit of information about Prince Harry and the royals, so he can respond to contestants appropriately. And he did drop one hint last night that he was Prince Harry about, or not last night, I watched it last night, this week's episode, saying, one of the girls said, oh, this is a date fit for a royal. And he said something in reply, something to the effect of, well, it ought to be.
See, that's the thing. Right? Like, he's saying these kind of things. He said he has a brother who's older, who's a little bit older than him.
I missed that.
He on the first date, I guess, on the date, on the beach date, he was talking to that girl, and they were, like, getting to know each other, and he talked about his family.
So, and actually, tonight, Friday night, they're re-airing the premiere episode.
So what do you think of the show?
I kind of like it. It's funny because we're in on the... I think it could be very humorous if certain things happen. So I'm going to keep watching the show. One issue I have is I want to learn something about the girls that are on the show a little bit. Because right now, I can't tell you one from another. They're all just girls. I'm looking at a list of them right now on the computer. The first two that got sent home, both from Texas. Danny's discriminating against the Texas girls. But they're from all over.
Because he can't. Which one had the best exit line? Like, I didn't want to date a ginger with bad teeth anyway.
Yes. Oh, the stereotypical Englishman. So four girls from California, two from Long Island, two from Illinois, one from Alabama, one from Buffalo, Missouri.
So?
None of them promotional model, hostess slash abolitionist, which I'm not even sure if I know what that means.
Does that mean she's against alcohol?
Special preschool teacher. Actress, model, Miss Los Angeles. And she's not the one that got sent home claiming, I finished runner-up in every pageant I've been in. Well, surprise, Andrea. This isn't a pageant.
She's just saying that she's desirable by...
Maybe she go hang out with James of Bachelor fame.
Yes. So, I think the show's good. I think... Prince Harry's actually a link, so far the weak link to the show. He doesn't really come off with a lot of personality, even when he's talking back to the
He plays camera, everything very close to the vest.
He's very quiet. I think it would be a lot funner. Better show.
It'd be funner?
Yeah, that's not a word. If he implied some jokes, too. Like, what if he, now everyone thinks he's a prince? What if he did things like farted at dinner? I don't know, something stupid like that. But the girls seem to be fun. Seems they like to get drunk and get silly, so that could be good. We'll see.
All right, so we're coming up against time here, but before we go, a quick news item. Obviously, the big news last week was Kim and Kanye got married. I'm sure everybody's heard enough about that. We'll go ahead and skip over that. Bachelor news, though. Bachelor Cassandra from last season, the one that Juan Pablo really liked, but ended up sending home so she could be with her daughter, son? Son. Rodney Stuckey's baby mama.
Yes.
She's engaged to Rodney Stuckey now.
Well, congratulations.
How about that? I'll save it for next week, but we have a new show coming up on E! That I'm interested in called Escape Club. That premieres along with the Kardashians on June 8th. And Big Brother, June 25th, so not too far out. And then Bachelor in Paradise, August 4th. And we'll close out with this. Some cast members leaked for Bachelor in Paradise this season. A few from Juan Pablo's season last fall. Lucy, the one who likes to get naked. Crazy Claire, the runner-up. Danielle Ronco, who was actually around for quite a while. She was the African-American girl that was there for a long time, but they never gave her any airtime. Amy Long, who I don't necessarily remember. Michelle Money, who's been on Bachelor Pad, she's on Brad Womack's season. Ashley Frazier, who...
Michelle Money needs money.
Yeah, Ashley Frazier, who was on Sean Lowe's season, but most recently dated Brad Womack. Sarah Herron, the girl with the that was born with half an arm. And then some of the guys. Chris Bukowski, surprise, surprise. is on Ben Scott, the father who came off as not a real great guy on Dez's season. Zach K from Dez's season, not Zach W. And Robert from Desert Season, he was the one everybody liked. He looked kind of like Ryan Gosling. They sent him home early. Later we found out he was sent home because he had previously dated one of Dez's friends. And then Kaylin is back. We last saw Kaylin on Bachelor Pad 3. He was dating Lindsay Cox, one of Brad Womack's also-rans. And then Graham Bunn, he's back from Deanna Pappas' season, so he's a older school guy, and he was also on Bachelor Pad 2. So looking forward to that. Should be good stuff coming up this summer. Dan, it's time to go. Before we do, where can everyone find us online?
You can hit us up on Twitter, at AfterRealityPod, or like our Facebook page, AfterRealityTVPodcast.
And we're looking forward to our special Wednesday episode next week. We'll hit up all of the new things that are happening on The Bachelorette. Until then, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on the After Reality TV Podcast.